I've heard it before too. This one might be for someone. It says Isaiah 41. It says, comfort ye, comfort ye. This was not the message I planned to preach, but it says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Tell her one thing, that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. It says her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. For she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, I stand here today. God wants me to share this, and I will share it before I go into the message, as He allows me. That's not what I plan to preach, but a year ago, I want you to see when He says, her iniquity is pardoned, she shall receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins or mistakes. About a year ago, I was in the hospital, I work in the hospital. And we're doing a case, and accidentally, I gave an injection to the patient, and it wasn't a dangerous injection, but it was just that it caused a lot of confusion because the patient was being monitored, and the injection made, they couldn't record the monitoring on the injection, and everyone was confused as to what had happened, you know, so. And when we realized that the surgeon was already crying because he felt the patient was paralyzed. And we realized what had happened and, you know, we talked about it and we settled it. And there was a stigma of shame. I couldn't walk into the hospital comfortably anymore. Everyone had escalated it and had taken it around everywhere. Say, that is the doctor that gave the injection. It was quite serious because I had to pray so much that to even go to work. I told my wife then, amen. So you enter the work, I see one cloud just comes over you. I'm sure you understand that if you're in the medical field. It was so heavy that I felt, my goodness, how could I have made this kind of mistake? At this stage of my profession, I always come to the end of it. So I was called to the panel and I said, look, you have, what's wrong? I mean, and the way it was done, it was so, the cleaners, everybody, I was treated in such a way that I was belittled so much that I felt, you know, when you feel shame in you, I felt that shame. I give God thanks, as we do, but I give you thanks. So what happened in the process of time, I was in that hospital for a few more months. And I was supposed to move to another hospital, but I felt that the other hospital was not that good, was not as solid as this hospital in terms of what I wanted to do. And that, I wanted to follow this story very well. God is ministering to someone in particular. I didn't intend to do this, but I'm sure God wants to reach out to someone. And I felt that, in fact, some of my colleagues stopped even greeting me on the corridors. It was that bad. And I felt that this hospital, I want to stay here because there's more prospect there and all that. So what happened was, an opening came up in this hospital, and I said, okay, that is the opening. So I tried to do it. I tried my best to get in, but I couldn't get in. And an opening came out in the other hospital, which is King's College Hospital. So I said, okay, I'll go there. And as soon as I stepped on the ground, you know, you can be unconsciously led by God. You might not know what God is planning. When you are don't push things too much. When you are trying to do something and it seems, just relax. And as I stepped on the ground, I had a revelation that this is the place I'm supposed to be at this season of my life. We went on. In a space of 6 months, by God's Spirit, my name, you know, I don't let me talk like this. My name had been spread abroad in that hospital based on what I was doing anything special. honestly, I was doing what I was supposed to do, nothing special. I was just being diligent in what I was supposed to do. But God had caused my name to spread in that hospital. We got through. We finished. We're almost finishing my training. I'm almost at the end of the training. And what happened was, a job came up in the hospital. You know, and you see, when God begins to work with you unconsciously, He sent me someone into my life that transformed everything. I stopped laboring. He sent a supervisor he put in charge of me. That person said, look, but she didn't know what she was doing. She was under God. She did so much inside my CV. She transformed everything. A job came up in the hospital. I wasn't really looking at me apply. A locum job, which is about 6 months, 8 months. I applied and I got the job. It was just about 6 months to 12 months. So we're working one day and one of the doctors said, look, let us go and do a presentation at the annex of King's College Hospital. Just follow me. Because this, when God begins to move, sometimes you don't know how He's moving you. Let us go and do, and this was the season when we're doing prayer watching church. You know, so when the saints are praying, there's nothing more powerful than that. Together. I said, let us go. Went to the presentation. We're teaching people how to do some things in medicine. So as I got there, one of the guys came to me, look, a job has come out in this hospital. I said, which job again? That I've already gotten one job. So this one is a permanent post. So I know that there are about 6-7 people waiting for over a year for this job. And I also know that there are people here who are the favorites to get this job. I stood there. He said, now I want you to perform your best. I said, I don't know how to do these things. I do my work and I go. So we did the demonstration and God, I was overwhelmed because as soon as I stepped there, every single person was coming to me to say, there's a job coming here. These are people that I haven't seen in 2009 was the last time I saw them. So the job is coming here. When did you apply? I said, okay. On the last day, ask. That's when I submitted the application. Because I think, God, are you leading me there? I'm not sure. The fact that they are saying you should apply does not mean I should apply. On the last day, I submitted, as someone said, I wouldn't say you're not serious. I submitted the application. I accepted that. A few weeks later, they said you were shortlisted. I said, okay. 7 people applied and 4 were shortlisted. I said, okay. I now found out that 90% of the department, I haven't seen it since 2000, had written a petition to the medical director saying this is the candidate we want. And on paper, listen, I just found out yesterday, on paper, the other candidates were better. On paper. So you have to go and visit the interview people before the interview. So I went. He's there one by one. And interviewed them, they talked to me, we talked and all that. The interesting thing is, the guy told me that, look, they like you in the department, that's fine. They want you, that's fine. But look, you have to be the best on that day if I can get the job. I said, okay. I was doing nights for a season and I was going for practice. You see, that's why I said the spirit of workmanship. We're talking about workmanship then. I said, Lord, let us practice what we are preaching. I will do nights. I said, I have to do, give due diligence to do what I need to do on the ground and ask for the supernatural upon the natural. I will do nights. I will wait in the hospital till 12 noon. I will do interview practice. I will read around the topics. I will get people to interview me. I will come home. I will sleep for 2 hours. I did this for about a week. In fact, the last day, it was the Lord that got me home because I was crossing lanes when I was driving home. So, I was lying down in bed the night, a few days before. Because although people, you know, the thing about God's word is that you have to have, I've always grown to have a solid foundation, that's the word of God, for everything I do. And the word of God I was hanging on to was, God has made all grace come to me in abundance, and I have sufficiency in all things, every favor and earthly blessing. So that's what I was hanging to, but there was still, I don't know how to explain, there was no that certainty in terms of the fact that does God really want me to go to that job? The fact that everybody is saying, come, does that mean that's what you want me to do? One. And two, I wasn't certain that, you know, when you're certain, you know, I wasn't certain. So I was lying down in bed I said, Lord, what is the direction? What is the direction? Everything seems to be pointing here, but I don't go by popularity. I don't go by what men say. I go by what your word says. And the Holy Ghost whispered to me, open the Bible, go to the Bible in Daniel, and read it from the NLT translation. The Spirit of God is real. It's there practically. I want you to know that. Just invite him. And he showed me the scripture. And when I read it, I said, God, how can you believe this? When I read the scripture, it described, who are the NLT? It described to the name of the hospital in the Bible. No. When you say God's word is total, you are laughing. No. God's word is total. Then I knew that, look, I'm supposed to be here. I'll read it to you. You see, and after that, ask my wife, my countenance was transformed. Something inside me changed dramatically after I saw that thing. I'll go to it. I'm just sharing with you so that you know that God is involved in the things concerning you. It's not the direction I wanted to take, but I believe God wants to reach out to one person, even if it's just one person. Daniel. That's what he told me. So read it in the NLT translation. I got the Bible out. I took it. In fact, let me tell you something. 2 months ago, let me just tell you this. A few months before, I was asking a colleague of mine. I said, how do we apply for jobs? I mean, what's the process? She was so irritated. I said, go away from here. How can you be asking me that kind of question? Go to on the website and register. She said it and she walked away sharply. She was very upset. I mean, she was irritated by that question. And she was one of the people that were shortlisted. So there were 4 of us. You know, me being the least qualified in terms of on paper. But God told me that something. He said, look, that when I do something in your life with this job, that people will be wondering, how did it happen? Because what happened was, I went to a meeting a few days ago and they said, it's not possible. I mean, it's rare. How can you get a job before you finish your training? I just want to show you, it is God. Okay, Daniel chapter 2, I want to show you something. Follow me. And when the training period, this was so specific, I was coming to the end of my training. I mean, how can the Bible be that specific? I was just about a few months to the end of my training. I want to show you how specific God's word is regarding your life as a person. Says, and when the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them. And no one impressed him as much as Daniel. The Holy Ghost said, put your name there. Daniel 1:18. He said, and no one impressed him as much as Uzziah. So they entered into royal service. The name of the hospital is Princess Royal Hospital. It was there. The God showed me. Royal Hospital, a branch of kings. That's it. When I saw it, I said, that's it. I came down that area, I found it. That's it. I said, something changed inside. Not going to tell you, the word of God is one of these. It's not me. I saw that this was where I was supposed to be at this time, and I saw something else. You know, it made me read. It says, into royal service, and I saw that I was there for service. You know, it wasn't just about getting a job, a consultant. No, it was that I was there for a specific reason. If you go further, say, whenever the king consulted them on any matter requiring wisdom, and balanced the judgment, he found them 10 times more capable. That was after he had entered into service. In that space of time, when he was already employed, as it were, he went on further, he said, whenever he inquired of them, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel reigned in the royal service until the first year of the reign of kings. So God said that in the first year of that place, that is what's going to happen. I will bring balanced judgment and issues regarding that hospital. I will bring solutions. That's it. So it's not a job. That's why they were excited. I said, you got, I just started. The first phase is finished. I've entered into royal service. Now it's time to bring balanced judgment and solutions in these matters in that place in the space of 1 year. So I've seen it clearly, and that is the plan that God has. So I want you to know that the word of God is relevant to your present situation. I mean, don't separate it from you. It is what will lead and guide you into the place that God has designed for you. Just open it, and it's simple. I mean, where prayers are going on by the saints, so maximize it. The prayers of the saints, I mean, the things that have happened are unexplainable sometimes. When saints gather together and begin to pray, energy, spiritual power is released, you know? So understand this. God is involved with you on a daily basis. Don't separate him from the issues of your life. Even if it's child care issues, it might look mundane, but he's involved in it. That's what I want to share with you. And he's concerned about it. I mean, look at from shame. I went to the hospital the other day. As I entered the hospital, oh, well done. Oh, well done. Everyone, you know, someone took me. I was parading me around the hospital yesterday. I mean, day before yesterday. I said, everybody just coming. Oh, well done. Everyone wants to be associated with you now. I said, hey, you're the new guy that wants to come and transform that department. You know, so it's interesting how God transformed from shame to honor. I met with those guys that in the other hospital. They said, wow, did that happen? How did that happen? They were just looking puzzled. They looked at me and said, I can't really understand that smile. I said, some boys were praying. So understand that God is involved. No matter how it looks, it might even be an immigration issue. You might think God is thinking about it. Say, who is man that you are mindful of him? That means your mind is full of thoughts regarding the issues concerning him. Is the enemy that comes to tell you that God is not interested in that one, it's too small for him? No, he's interested in every single thing that concerns you, because you're the apple of his eyes, and your walls are continually before him. So understand that God is concerned. So God did it, you know, and the same thing he would do for every single person. And he's doing, and he has done in everyone's lives, in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4-6. So maximize the prayers of the saints. So there's nothing more powerful. You know, John G. Lake said that people can pray and get breakthroughs. But when the saints gather together to pray, when the body of Christ comes together to pray in unity, there's no limit. Unity is one thing that's why Paul, if you look at all the epistles, says that their hearts might be knit together, that this one thing, he says, fulfill my joy, that you might be like-minded. He knew what he was talking about. The only thing that brought God down, I said, look, these guys, they are one, and whatever they imagine, it's not because they imagine, it was because they were one. That was the issue. Whatever they imagine in a place of unity, nothing shall be restrained from them. That's why the prayer meeting was so powerful on Friday, that we in unity began to confess. We called people's name one by one. It will happen. It has happened. We began to confess, and we, in one voice, they said, with one accord, lifted up the prayer, and it's going to happen. There's so much power in that. That's why Satan comes to divide the body of Christ. He comes to cut the bands asunder, destroys, it causes disunity. That is why he comes, even to strike the shepherd. Why did he strike the shepherd? Because the sheep was scattered. It's all about attacking that unity, because the body grows by that which every joint and band supplies. That's how the body grows. That's how it functions. Imagine Jesus is the head and we are the body. He's in earth. We are on earth. And just think about it. Every member of the body of Christ is part of the body. So it's moving in unison. That's what makes the power available. Imagine if the leg comes out and starts walking on its own. How would that, just think about it. Or the hand starts floating somewhere. You know, in those cartoons. So that is how... That's how the body of Christ is designed to function. So think about it like that, and make the unity of the Spirit your priority on the earth. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let's understand that. And when we call these meetings together, even if you can't make it, you have been prayed for. You have been prayed for, and we're going to maximize the power of unity. And that is where the church will begin to take dominion over the environment. That's how it happens. If you look at the Acts of Ephesus, those guys prayed together and each person went out to cause exploits. They carried that atmosphere into the works of their hands. That's what happened. That's basically what happened. At the interview, that is exactly what happened. I didn't even finish the story. They said, when I finished the interview, as I was going, I think 30 minutes, the guy called me and said, look, I can't give you a job without references. He says, so get your reference. I said, well, he said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, okay, I'll get my reference. He said, I said, do you understand what I'm saying to you? I said, he said, it means you've got it. I said, oh, I've got it. Okay, okay, thank you. You know? So he now said that you were the best. Because I was the best, and they wanted to give it to someone so badly, they had to create another job for her. And there was only one job. They created another job because they wanted to give it to her so badly. That means I must have done so well that they gave it to me. They had no choice. So he says, in all matters of wisdom that the king discussed with them, he found them 10 times in scripture was fulfilled in that matter. So understand that, and let us work with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So God is on your case. As long as you're part of this church, the prayers are over your head. You cannot go scot-free. It's the truth. You experience things where you be wondering, how did this happen? How did I get here? When I think about a year ago, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it consciously. I'm targeting a job. I wasn't thinking like that. And that will happen to all of you. Every one of us is a body, and we move in unity. We move together in unity. We receive things together. We receive life together. We receive prosperity together. We receive health together. We receive increase together. And we move with one force and one voice on the earth. That's how it is. And that's how we function. God, I will give you thanks. The other day, Badaki went to one place and things began to happen. So, don't exclude yourself. That's what I'm saying. Have that understanding that you are part of the body of Christ. And part of this local assembly, we're moving as one into the inheritance that God has designed for us. There's no one man show anywhere. It's a body, it's a covering. Fine, there's a covering, but who covered Peter when he was in prison? It was the prayer of the church that set you out. You understand what I'm saying? So it's the prayer, the united prayer, that's actually the covering. That's what's the covering. So let's not break that unity. Very important. That's what the Spirit is emphasizing in this time, I believe, because God wants to take the church to the place where they become the actual ecclesia on the earth. The ecclesia on the earth, deciding what happened in the election, so they'll be forced to reckon with on the earth. It's not a woman, it's a church, the body of Christ himself. To begin to make decisions, direct things, make decisions regarding schools, make decisions regarding political decisions. I mean, the influence will be so strong that they can't make any decision without consulting the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. We're talking about last week, about the heavens. We said that the heavens rule the earth, and that the earth, the world is not just as you see it, as we're just walking around. There are certain things that govern the activities on the earth. When Nebuchadnezzar was thrown into the beast, into the forest, and he became a beast, he came to one understanding. He says, I now understand that the heavens do rule. So understand that the heavens rule. We're not just playing around. People that are not Christians are doing their own things in the heavenlies. So let's wake up and begin to do our own things too in the heavenlies. They're doing things. They're not just coming to the CEOs that are leading multinationals. Not Christians. You think they're just sitting down doing... They're doing their own Freemason and all sorts of things. We think we're just coming that we wake up in the morning and yawn and go to work. No. They're doing things, so we have to make sure we are plugging into our own power, which is Jesus Christ himself. We can't just live life like that, bare-chested. So when you're entering some levels, you have to understand this. And that is why the unity is so important. We have to understand that, look, we are part of the body, and we have to go there and express that. So we said the heavens rule, and we talked about three heavens. We talked about the atmospheric heaven, which is where we see the skies and all that. We talked about the heaven, which is geographical location where God lives. And we're talking about the heavens, which the second heavens, where the principalities and powers dwell. He says there are wicked spirits in heavenly places. And he says in Ephesians 2, he says, you were sometimes, you walked in darkness after the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So that prince of the power of the air is controlling the activities of men. They asked Obama, they asked him privately, they said, how can I, being a born again Christian, pass all these laws? I didn't tend to pressure. That's what they pray for the kings. There are certain forces, if the church does not pray, there are certain forces that will regulate the leader's affairs. They will control their mind and push them in the direction that they want. That's why we have to pray. Even men who are interacting with, we have to pray concerning our job. The people who are, forces are there regulating their minds and their affairs. You have to take charge of your environment and take charge and make sure you are in control. So the second heaven, that's where the battle is. And that's where the warfare is. I think 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. You can see the principalities and powers exert their effects through the imaginations of men. And that is where the warfare actually is. That's where the warfare actually is. I read in Ephesians as well. Went to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to the period of fasting and prayer in this church in December, 21 days. Nothing will be left unturned. No stone will be left unturned. It's not. The Bible says prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. It says prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. And there was only one outcome. There can't be any other. There's only one outcome. In fact, when the thing happened, they were so surprised. Is it your ghost? When the church gathered together to make prayers on behalf of anyone, the outcome is absolute. Because Jesus Christ says, look, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is lost in heaven. And if any two people, even if in a marriage, you guys maximize the power of unity. In a marriage, two people lock themselves together to reach out to God concerning anything, it's going to be established. That's why Satan brings this kind of thing, strife here, little strife here, I'm not talking to you. Those things are time wasters. Time wasters. So let us understand where we're going and what we're doing. Ephesians chapter 6. So finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In chapter 1, he talked about all the blessings God has given us, all the spiritual blessings. In chapter 2, he talked about that. As he went on, he talked about all the relationships you should do. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. He talked about all those things, and he talked about the blessings that accompany those things. So he says, if you are a man and you're in service to your master, that God will give you the eternal inheritance if you serve Jesus Christ, even with your heart, doing the will of God from your heart and not unto God and not unto men. He said, when you do those things, there's a reward. He said, children, when you obey your parents, you will live long on the earth and all that. So what he's saying, he says, finally, my brethren, we have to understand this life very clearly. Sometimes, it's like people that are so good, that are doing all these things right, that are diligent, that are honest, but there seems to be no headway. It seems that even the reward for those things is not apparent, and the people that are corrupt are getting the rewards. Understand what is happening in life. Satan wants to discredit the word of God, and the only way you can actually enforce it is through this prayer. To enforce the outcome of what God has promised, you have to enforce it, because it's a thief. He comes to steal. So it will look as if servants are riding upon horses and princes are walking as servants. People that have been honest, that have been straight in their workplace, that are not stealing money, that have been good, that are not falsifying figures, seem to be getting ahead. His Bible says that truth faileth. Let's go to Isaiah. We have to see it. Isaiah. You see, it's only the church that has a solution to this problem, honestly. That's what's happening in several countries. Isaiah chapter 59. I'll read for you. It says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He says, for your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. Go to 7. He said, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Go to 9. Said, therefore is the judgment far from us. Follow me. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light and behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are desolate places, and we're in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Now if you go to 14, it says, for judgment is turned away back. Follow me. And justice stands afar off. For truth is falling in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. It says, he that departs from evil in an office, the man that refused to take corrupt bribe was ostracized. The man that refused to practice corruption, corrupt practices, was put aside and was even sacked from that job. They told him that because he didn't take, you are spoiling our market here. You are spoiling business for us, because he was trying to practice truth. So the man went home heavy. He said, I did all this. I trusted God. I'm doing all this. I'm not taking bribe. I'm being good. And the problem is, after some time, let me tell you something. After some time, that man will put his hand into iniquity if something is not done. You can't push him so far. I mean, if he doesn't know what to do, he's practicing the thing and he's not seeing the result. He's being straight, he's returning money that was spent, and he's seeing people that have been practicing corruption enjoying the thing. What is lacking? The man is trying to practice truth. In that process, he's making himself a prick. People have tried truth. They have tried the word of God. It's not working. Someone brings an idea to us. Let's do it that way. He knows his heart is not really listening to do it. He knows there's a bit of a shittiness in that thing. But he says, okay, let me just try this. Why is that? There's pressure. Let's not be quick to judge. You haven't seen that kind of pressure before. When your children have to go to school, we have to pay the school fees. And you've tried and tried, and someone brings an alternative. Let's just try it. Understand that. Because there's one thing missing. Let's go on. And the Lord saw it. What was it? That there was no man. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness is sustained him. Look at what he did. He put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation, that's the armor of God, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And he said, he will repay vengeance to his enemies according to that deed to repay. So God said, look, this is the problem here, that the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to put on this armor and make intercession for one another and cover that thing, so that people are practicing the truth, they will see the reward, and people will say, okay, they will come and say, now, there's a difference now between those that are practicing righteousness and those that are practicing iniquity. It's only by intercessory prayer that you can do. Because Satan wants to discredit the gospel and discredit the work of Christ. He said, those Christians are just happy clappy. They don't produce anything in their life. My friend came from America. He said, why is it that I can see wealth, and these guys that are holding this wealth are not Christians? All they want to do is to go to the pub and drink and drink and drink. What is the problem? That's the issue. We have to gather together as a body. It's a conscious decision. We're not playing. It's a conscious decision, strategy to take over. Basically, a conscious minority of people sit down regarding their children, sit down regarding the finances of the people, and say, look, we have to take over this territory, enough. And gather together and pray strategic prayers, not general prayer, strategic prayers regarding the issues. That every child from this assembly, these are the things that will happen. You list them out and you gather together and pray, nothing will stop it. You say everybody's finance, every business arising for this assembly, you list them and you get it together and pray to enforce it. Anyone that stands in the way, it is taken out. It cannot stop. Say when Herod stood up. See, this thing is very dangerous. We're entering into dangerous territory now. So when Herod stood up, I said, I am God. He said, the angel of the Lord smote him. They didn't pray that he should be smitten. But when the church gathers together and begins to pray, anyone that stands in the way is taken out. So we're entering into that kind of region now in the body of Christ. So let's understand where we're going. He said, and God was, he said, God saw this and wondered that, he said, he was very, very, he said, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation to him and was clothed with zeal as a cloak. So according to their deeds, according he will repay, few to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will pay, repay recompense. That means God is saying, every enemy of yours is my enemy. And another human being is the spiritual wicked in high places. They can use men. So in your life, please, as a church, don't take things for granted. I beg you. Stand. You see, stand in your private time of prayer. Every morning, make sure you make this prayer. It says, in Revelation, it says, now is salvation come. Understand this, the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. So people have been trying things, talented, multi-talented. They've been trying things. See, understand this. If you don't get anything, get this one. They've been trying things. They're very good. They have potential, but nothing seems to move. People that are not as talented and have as much potential as them are going ahead and forging ahead. God showed me something. He says, the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. And that, as a result of that, salvation has come. How does he accuse? He accuses through the thoughts, imaginations of man. I'm telling you something. People can stand unconsciously and say, this man is not going to progress. See, it's not deliberate. See, they can say, this man, they have put a limit on you. You have to understand life. They have put a limit subconsciously. They might be relating with you. This man, I mean, it's here. It's like, got rather about this level. They have said things in their minds. They have thought it. But there are some that do it deliberately. But this is subconsciously. So what you do, and that's how Satan brings accusations on the earth. He cannot do it by himself. He needs a witness on the earth. They will say things casually. Ah, you, is it not you? I was in one place the other day. I said, I'm a pastor. Said, are you a pastor? Ah, I saw the, I mean, he's my very good friend. You, pastor, which can, you know? So those are accusations. Don't take things casually. Especially when you have to do words. So you sit down in your house and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, what I said, every tongue or that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn it. You have to pull those accusations down to create room for yourself in the spirit. To advance on earth, you have to pull those accusations down. There was a lady, this is a serious thing now. There was a lady, anytime she tries to go forward, something pulls her back. Just go, something pulls her back. It's just have a breakthrough. It's almost there, but God said, someone called, I said, he feels that there are people that he had offended before. They don't say anything, but they're just holding her in their mind, in their thoughts. So you have to deliberate as a person. Break free from that thing. That's why Jesus came, to free you from that. He says, the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. That vengeance means, if you go to the original Greek, the period where their hearts were subservient to men. He said, the lawful captive shall be delivered. And the prayer of the, even if you have made mistakes, you have hurt people, it doesn't matter. You have repented. They have no right to hold you bound. He says, the lawful captive shall be set free and the prayer of the terrible shall be delivered. No man has the right to hold another man bound. And that's what Jesus has come to do, to set us free from every hold. Because people ought to have gone far and accelerated more than where they are. And that's what we're going to break in this place. Those 21 days, we'll stand together and cut everything that's hindering people. Free their minds, the air. And also you have to free everybody too. You have to free everybody too.
free everybody. Little offense here, anger, unforgiveness. Let them go so that you can be free. To express yourself and realize who you are in Christ Jesus. Let them go. Let them go free. Free everybody so that you too will be free to operate. This is the message I'm in another territory now. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll just round off with that. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. And finally, my brethren, what we say here, I've told you about all the revelations, all the blessings you have in Christ Jesus. I've told you about how to conduct yourself as a person. But it says, I can't finish this epistle without writing this to you. This is the final remark. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God. You know what? You remember what God did in Isaiah 59? He said, he himself put on the whole armor because there was no man to do it. Now he's appointing us as a church in the new covenant to put that armor on. Because in Isaiah 59, it says, I took on the helmet of salvation. I bore everything because there was nobody to do it. Now it says, now I've gone, now I have my representative to put on that armor, you as a church, to ensure that everybody that practices truth sees the result of the truth it practices. Everybody that practices truth, that judgment and justice is in place, that people see the reward of the labor of their hands, that the labor is not found in the house of strangers, that when men work hard, they see the benefits of working hard, that culture comes back, they say, okay, it's good to be honest. Honesty is upheld because they see the result of honesty in the lives of people. And also iniquity is punished. Iniquity is punished. He doesn't repent anyway. So it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the techniques or the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this thing cuts across everything, even to your children. This thing cuts across your children. You have to take charge. I don't know why God has been strong on regarding children. You have to take charge regarding their future. It's not just by things on the outside. You have to go into prayer daily. Call their name before the throne of God. Say, in the name of Jesus, you are the, you, and I don't know. You, TJ, you will prosper. You will suffer. No weapon formed. No. I don't remember Bimusi said, he said he used to prophesy to his children. He said, no divination against which I wonder what Bimusi said. Bimusi, American preacher. He said, no, he said, we call ourselves. They said, no divination against which I stand. Or no enchantment shall come to pass in your life. So you have to do that. If I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day will come. The evil day is the day of adversity. It will come. The evil day is the day when things do not go as well as you thought it would. The evil day is the day when that will come to every man. But it says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And the beauty of God is that that evil day is the time of your appointment. In the sense that Jesus said, when you see these things happening, rejoice for your redemption draws near. The evil day, when the enemy brings evil to you, God always turns it around for good. Every light affliction will turn out for an eternal weight of glory. But there's a condition you must put on that armor. You must put on that armor, because that evil day, you begin to see every challenge as an opportunity. That evil day is what the Bible says, that trials and tribulations came for the word's sake. So begin to see it like that. But that armor must be there. And I saw something as I was reading, as I was studying this. You know, I always thought the armor of God, one man, but I went to read the Roman history. You see, this unity is serious. They said, when they're fighting the enemy, they go in groups. They hold the shield. Three of them put their shields in front. Three of them put their shields on top, and three of them put their shields at the back, so they're all covered. So they go in groups. So when the darts are coming, they're all covered. It's not just one man, no. They go in groups. Paul was talking, he said, put on, he was talking to the entire church, put on the whole armor. Let's understand that. We're going together as a group in spiritual warfare. It says, stand therefore, have your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I'll just talk about the helmet of salvation. I'll talk from top to bottom today. I will continue with the others next time. The helmet of salvation. To put on the armor is not very difficult. You use words to put on the armor. Like we said, every kingdom principle, like we heard this morning, is voice actuated. Your voice, your words, your voice take you closer to where God wants you to be. The Bible says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life and a perverse tongue is a breach in the spirit. So when your words are right, you set the pace for God to come into your life. Just like that breach in the spirit. Remember when Lazarus and the rich man, you know, there was a gulf between him and the rich man. That gulf is what happens when you use your tongue wrongly. There's a gulf. He says, I cannot come to you. I cannot send, there's no way I can reach you. The way God is saying that when your tongue is not right, when you're not speaking my word, I try to, but I can't really reach you. There's a gulf. It's a perverse tongue. It's a breach. It says a breach. So no matter what it is, just say, even though it says, just keep quiet. Say only what God says. Regarding any situation, even if you don't, it's not a matter of emotions now. In this thing, the helmet of salvation, you put it on. The Bible says the hope of salvation is the helmet. So you say everything that God has said in this. You might not know the specific scriptures. You say things like, God has delivered me from this situation. You say things like, I triumph always in Christ Jesus. You say things like, I triumph in this situation. You say things like, this affliction has turned for me an eternal weight of glory. I might not know how this thing is working together for my good. You say everything that accompanies salvation. That's why you put on the helmet. You know, you don't have to feel like it. In Christianity, it's not a feeling thing. You stand there and declare God's word as it is written. You don't have to feel it. You have to take that word and say it. That's why you put on the helmet of salvation. Satan will put everything in your way to stop you. Please don't say anything contrary. There's a woman around up here. They called Hagin to pray for her. She went to the room. Tried laying on her and God said, take your hands up. Why? Because she has spoken too much words. There's a breach in the spirit. The point of no return has come. I can do anything about it. Let her come and be with me. She's better off with me. It's too late. Keep your tongue. See, what we're saying this thing, keep that tongue, because that's your access to divine life. E.W. Kenyon says, you cannot rise above the level of your confession. You can never rise above it. And you will go to the level of the words you speak. Don't be put under pressure. Keep that helmet of salvation intact. No matter what happens on the outside, if you are pressed on every side, say, I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Say it. I know that God will deliver me. Say, God is in charge of this situation. I'm not moved by what happens on the outside. I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm only moved by what God says regarding it. And it will turn out for my good, no matter how it appears. That's why you put on the helmet of salvation. Don't look for pity. Those spirits are wicked spirits. There's no pity anywhere. Pity doesn't solve any problem. It's aggression in the spirit. Because the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violence take it by force. Pity can pursue your soul. But it won't solve the problem. Well, it's true. So let's understand this. And we'll get that as a body. We'll push this thing together. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1. I think that's it. Ezekiel. So I decided after the prayer meeting on Friday that my prayer points were too few. When they were confessing over everybody, I said, only two lines for me. I said, next time I'll add more. It says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as was among the captives by the river of Sheba, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This guy, this is the same place, this is the same people that were captive in Psalms, when they were saying, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The same people. One person was seeing visions, the other person was crying. So you understand that. So this man was in prayer to keep the heavens opened over his life. Just understand that. And I believe that God will take us into places that we didn't imagine in our lives. Just don't, see, the only thing I would say is don't remove strife, envy, those things from your heart, and just join, even if you're not even active. You know, when the church gathers together to pray, even if you don't even make it physically, just make sure your heart is just say, okay, Father, I'm under the covering. You know, just even if it's passive, because it's so important. I can't really overemphasize that. So important. Because Jesus says, look, I'm gone away now, that there's nobody else to stand for me, and I will build my ecclesia on the earth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It means that God's only offensive weapon on the earth now is the church. So when we're gathered together to pray, maximize your advantage, as my friend would say. Maximize your advantage. Father, we give you thanks.